Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
So let's look at some healing scriptures, and we are going to take our healing when we pray. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 7:12 says the Lord will take away all sickness. John 14 is the love commandment. We walk in love and things go well with us. That's our commandment. Hallelujah. If we want to walk in divine health, we're going to have to keep the word about love. You say, yeah, but they just irritate me. Well, toughen up and get over it. Get over it. Glory to God. Get over it where they don't irritate you. Start loving them. Start loving somebody that's irritates you. Just set off with the word of God. Love endures long, is patient and kind. Glory to God. Go through the love scriptures and think about that person that you love, that person. Lord, help them. Pray for them. You don't have to live with them. You don't have to, you know, have them to dinner 5 nights a week. But you could love somebody. See, what are you doing? Well, you're protecting yourself. Faith works by love. So I'm going to get out of strife. I'm going to get out of unloveliness. I'm going to bless somebody. Bless them. Pray for them. If they irritate you that much, they need prayer. Pray for them. Amen. So since faith works by love, we got to be love conscious. And faith works by what we say, so we have to be conscious of our words. We don't say anything that we don't want to come to pass. And if we do mess up, if we do say something, we negate it. We say, I negate that in the name of Jesus. That's not what I want. This is what I believe. I forgive if I have aught against any. Amen? Glory to God. So the scripture says in Deuteronomy 7:12-15, that the Lord will take away all sickness. It says in Psalm 105 that when they came out of Egypt, there was no feeble one among them. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And love is our commandment. When we walk in love, all is well. So it says, if you keep my commandments and if you continue to obey my instructions, you will abide in my love. So part of walking in love is doing what God says to us and doing and following through. And live on in it just as I have obeyed my Father's, Jesus, this is Jesus talking, my Father's commandments and live on in his love. I have told you these things that my joy and delight may be in you and that your joy and gladness may be full measure. So keeping the commandments, and our commandment is that we walk in love among others, but keeping our commandments is for our joy and gladness, full measure. This is my commandment, verse 12 says. Jesus said, this is my commandment that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than to lay down his life, his own life, for his friends. And so Jesus said, our commandment is to love. Verse 17 says, this is what I commanded you, that you love one another. Glory to God. Look at 16. You have not chosen me, Jesus said, but I have chosen you, and I have appointed you, and I have planted you, that you might go and bear fruit and keep on bearing, that your fruit may be lasting and it may remain, whatever you ask the Father, this is the Amplified Bible, in my name, presenting all that I am. In other words, I'm walking in love, I'm obeying God, I'm doing what he says, that he will give it to you. This is what Jesus said. Verse 17 in the Amplified. This is what I command you, that you love one another. If we kept that one commandment, that you love one another, it would make a tremendous difference in everybody's life. That you love one another. In other words, somebody does you wrong, you don't have to get all bent out of shape over it. You can just forgive them. You don't have to put out a vendetta against them. You can just love them and go on and forgive them. If somebody does wrong to you and you're continuing to hold that unforgiveness, they're still doing you wrong. That's about as wrong as you can get somebody. Do somebody is to do something that would keep them in unforgiveness. But you have a choice. You don't have, even if they did you wrong, you don't have to stay in unforgiveness. The Bible says, forgive if you have aught against any. Today, when we pray for healing, if you have anything against anybody, get rid of it and let it stay there. Don't ever pick it back up. You say, yeah, but it comes to me. I think about it. If it comes to you and you think about it, and you've forgiven them today, from now on you say, that's been forgiven. That's under the blood of Jesus. I don't have to think about that anymore. I don't have to be upset about that anymore. I don't have to be in strife and stress anymore about that. It's a done deal. I've forgiven it. Amen. And what happens? Well, they probably don't know the difference, but you just went free from it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And it says in Isaiah 40, the Lord gives power to the strength. He gives power to the faint. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Galatians, of course, says that we've been redeemed from the curse. That's every sickness and every disease. Thank you, Lord. He himself bore our sicknesses and carried our diseases. And by his stripes, we were healed. I were healed by the stripes of Jesus. Now, nothing happened in my life until I took that. I mean, I don't say nothing happened because I wasn't sick or anything, but I'm telling you the faith. I did not activate faith in that scripture until I saw that he bore our sicknesses and carried our diseases. By his stripes we were healed. That it was already done. Well, say I saw that when I was already healed. I was feeling good, feeling fine. But now I've got some ammunition. I know that if I have a symptom of a sickness, disease, or weakness, or really anything that's under the curse, poverty is under the curse, all kind of things, everything bad's under the curse. But if we're talking about healing now, if I have a symptom of that now, and of any sickness, any pain, any, your heart goes bloop, bloop, or your, you know, whatever it is, I've been redeemed from sickness. I've been redeemed from pain. You need to meditate on healing until that becomes a reality to you. Especially if you're already sick. But even if you're well, you got to keep it at the forefront. You got to keep it moving in your heart. He bore my sicknesses and carried my diseases. And by his stripes, I was healed. If I was healed, I am healed. I'm healed. I'm not taking this flu. I'm not taking this pain. I'm not having it. Jesus took it, and I don't have to take it. So you got to put up a fight, church. What does it say? I'm going to try to finish on this, but just what does this word say? Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Who is it that brings the curse? Who is it that brings poverty, lack, anything you could have bad in your life? Who's behind it? The devil. So don't comply with the devil and start talking we're never going to get out of debt. I don't know how we'll ever pay these bills. I don't think I'll live out the full number of my days. No, don't comply with him. Resist him. Now, you got to know what the Bible says to have faith to know that it's not God's will for you to die young. Yeah, but you know, I sowed a lot of wild oats. Well, that's what cleansing's for. That's what redemption's for. That's what forgiveness is for. Your wild oats should not cause you to die young or to be broke. You need to get forgiven for that. If you did things, repent and then let it go. Next time the devil says, you remember what you did? You say, I'm clean, devil. I've been forgiven. Learn to say, I've been forgiven of that. Don't bring it up to me again, devil, in the name of Jesus. Isn't that right? We have to resist the curse or it comes on us. The devil is the instigator of the curse. Everything is bad. Everything bad is under that curse. Every sickness, every disease, poverty, strife, unhappiness, unforgiveness. But you look at that curse. We've been redeemed from it. You can't come up with anything bad that's not under the curse. Glory to God. Hallelujah. In one form or another. Church, we live by the word. We prosper by the word. We forgive by the word. We don't let anything, don't let the devil hang anything over our heads of unforgiveness on any level, hallelujah. We say the word, amen. We don't say anything. Did I tell you you could come out here? What? This is Kenneth. I want to introduce you today. This is Kenneth Copeland, my husband. Of how many years?
53.
I have been living with this prophet for 53 years. I should get a medal.
Yeah, you should.
I love you today. You want to help me?
Yeah.
Good.
I noticed the Lord has all morning long kept bringing you back to love and forgiveness. Bringing you back to love and forgiveness.
That's right.
And just a few moments ago, I heard this. Someone, whether in the building or online or however you're watching this, someone is in a position where they are having to forgive someone of murder, of a member of their family.
That's a big one, all right. But
now the laws of forgiveness are still the same.
That's right.
See, there is no sin. I don't care what it is. There is no sin that can stand against the love of God, because God is love. He doesn't have love. He is love. And every time you talk about love, you're talking about God. Well, when you're talking about the Word, you're talking about God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same with God.
That's right.
So, a couple of things here that the Lord instructed me to inject into this to help you in that hard, hard, serious situation. You can get to the place in grief, and it also happens in depression, because depression is grieving about things you haven't lost yet. Nobody loves me. Nobody cares. And that's a lie from hell. But it seems like something right in here hurts so bad. You can't cough it up. You can't swallow it. It's just stuck there. And it hurts. Only one thing will get rid of that. And that is obeying God. And it will kill you. But you can get to the point in grief and depression where you want to die. Now, what Satan's trying to do is take you out. You go to 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Our warfare. This is spiritual warfare.
That's right. That's
the
right.
Spiritual war is in the mind. Listen, I said, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but powerful through God. God is love, powerful through love. Casting down imaginations. Every time that person's face comes before you, every time you think about it, I don't care, he killed my mother, and I can't forgive him. Yes, you can.
Yes.
You're bigger than that. You're stronger than that.
You have to forgive him because faith works by love.
Yeah, and it's a commandment.
It's a commandment.
And breaking it will get you killed.
That's right.
God won't kill you. The devil will.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what he's trying to do. It's bad enough he killed your mama. And that's who killed her.
Yeah, that's right.
The devil killed her. Now, don't blame the man. The devil's in that man or the situation. I don't know what that situation is, but I can tell you what. Our enemy is not flesh and blood. We're dealing with the devil. We're dealing with death itself.
Yeah.
And we need to win this fight.
Amen.
We need to win this fight. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
You've grieved long enough. You go to the scripture and check it out, particularly in the Old Covenant. There was a time set aside to come together and talk about this person. And if you're going to do any grieving, you do it right now. But then there was an end to it. Get over it. Like Gloria said, get a grip and go on. Now, what do we do in the New Testament? He has borne our griefs.
Yes, he has.
And carried
yes,
our sorrow.
Yes. Oh.
The suffering of Christian people. The scripture says we are destined to suffer. But it's not natural carnal suffering. God didn't put sickness and disease on you so you'd get some credit for it in heaven. That's a lie from hell. Spit it up and get rid of it. What is our suffering? Our suffering is resisting what Jesus bore for us on the cross. This is far tougher than just natural suffering. Amen? I'm talking about grief. Man, I'm telling you what, those of you that have had a big dose of it, you know what I'm talking about. You suffer under that thing. It is suffering. But you know one of the problems with it at the very beginning, it don't feel all that bad at first. It feels good when that weeping comes roaring up out of there. And oh, and then somebody else comes up and says, we're so sorry you lost your mama. Here it comes again. But you just keep yielding to that, and you keep yielding to that. It will dry your spirit up. It will dry you up until your guts begin to burn, and this knot comes inside you. And when all the folks are gone, and all the potato salad's been eaten up, and you're home by yourself, and you pull the curtains down and make it dark in your bedroom, and you're back there weeping and grieving, and all of a sudden that good feeling don't come anymore. It's just hell inside you. That is not God.
No.
And Jesus bore that. And it's time to go get out of there. You spirit of grief, take your hands off God's property right
yes.
now.
Yes, yes. Thank you, Jesus.
We hope you enjoyed this teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.